Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with Thomas Manton, a practical exposition upon the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And last time we started verse 6, which says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all." And he introduced it a little bit and then went through a first doctrine based on the universal particle all. The doctrine was that no son of Adam can exempt himself from the number of those that are gone astray from God in the way of true happiness. And we talked a lot about sheep going astray and then gave some uses. And that left us off at doctrine 2, and it's where we stopped last time. And Lord willing, where we're going to pick up this time. And I'll go ahead and start that now. Says, "I come now to observe from the distribution of this common error, every man to his own way. Doctrine 2, that there are many several ways of sinning, or thus, though there be one path to heaven, yet there are several ways of sinning and going to hell. Every man has his several course, and as the channel is cut, so his corrupt nature finds an issue and passage. Ecclesiastes 7:29, God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. One has one invention, another another, wherein he imagines to find contentment and happiness, but finds none. Man, swerving from the state of happiness and sufficiency wherein God had created him, thinks to better his condition, and therefore has many devices and inventions which indeed make it worse. So 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Though no sin comes amiss to a carnal heart, yet some are more kindly and suitable to that particular humor. One's notorious blemish is the lust of the eyes, worldliness, another sensuality, and lusts are more often just generally any corrupt desire of the heart." They can also mean the sexual thing. Another sensuality is more generally living by senses or to please the senses. Another, pride, one this sin, another that. Hence, the psalmist says in Psalm 18:23, "I kept myself from mine iniquity," or mine iniquity, that which most urges us and prevails with us, we should endeavor to mortify. Things that prevail with us more easily, especially. The reasons how this comes to pass are, number one, because of the activeness of man's spirit, it is always devising wickedness, which, as it is true, mostly especially of the malicious musing mind, so of all evil hearts. Psalm 64, verse 6, they search out iniquities, they accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. A wicked spirit is a searching spirit. They contrive new ways. They are always finding out new inventions and devices. They are not contented with the way of God that God has set them, and therefore will try others. Number two, it happens through diversity of constitutions, your own personal makeup, internal makeup and hardwiring. The conditions of the mind follow the constitution of the body. The matter of some men's bodies is more viciously disposed than others. We plainly see the body has some indirect operation upon the soul. The affections, in their work and exercise, depend upon the body. And these corrupt affections, meaning with a disposed body for them, by a violent sway, carry the whole man with them. And this reason is the stronger because the devil joins with our tempers or temperaments to help on those sins to which we are naturally disposed, as wantonness or drunkenness or gluttony, or if of a better constitution, to pride and vainglory. And when the devil observes a lustful man, he helps forward the temptation and offers occasions, stirring up raging and immoderate desires, until at length, forgetting all shame and modesty, or the danger of punishments, he does most foully pollute himself. So if to luxury and gluttony he presents sweet baits till the soul is drowned and drenched in meats and drinks, and there be no sense of piety, and the heart is made unwieldy to prayer or any good duty. So for contentious or furious persons, whatever the constitution be, he worketh mightily in the children of disobedience, Satan does, Ephesians 2 verse 2. Godly men find least hurt by him as being led by the Holy Spirit, and avoid the occasions and snares, and strive against evil suggestions, and yet they smart too, or as well, much under his malice many times, through the advantage he has over them by their constitutions. Number three, it happens from their business and occasions in the world. Many men are engaged to ways of sin because they suit best with their employments, the sin of their calling, as vainglory in a minister. The apostle said, "Ordain not a novice, lest he be lifted up of pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil." 1 Timothy 3 verse 6. So worldliness suits a man of business, or deceitfulness in his trade, and corruption is common to a magistrate. Several callings and businesses have their several corruptions. Men easily slide into the corruptions of their way, and every calling, through the wickedness of our hearts, is made to serve this or that sin. Number four, custom and education. Aristotle said, "It is ill education that engages men to a way of wickedness, and it is not easy to break them off from it. Vessels will not easily quit their first savor, and customs will not easily be left. Teach a child the way of the Lord, and it will stick by him." Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Number five, company and example. Men learn from them with whom they converse, and thence come national sins, partly as they run in the blood, but more by example. Of the Germans, we learn drunkenness and gluttony, of the French, wantonness. Men shape their practices to the patterns that are before them and learn their way, for it easily taints the spirits. And thus you see why there are so many inventions and ways of wickedness. Use number one. Well then, do not be too ready to bless yourselves, provided the sins of others break not out upon you. Do not flatter yourselves that you run not into the same sins that others do. The devil may take you in another snare that suits more with your temper and condition of life. Some are sensual, and again, living by to please senses, sensual, and some vainglorious, others worldly. Many meet in hell that do not go thither or there the same way. A man may not be as other men, and yet he may not be as he should be. Luke 18:11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men." Yet the publican went down to his home justified rather than the proud Pharisee. Those that slighted the invitation to the marriage feast had their several diversions and reasons of excuse, Matthew 22:5, but they all made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. One has business to keep him from Christ, another pleasures and the pomps and vanities of the present world, and another has his superstitious observances. But all obstruct the power of the truth and the receiving of Christ into their souls. Every man will have his way, said Luther upon this text. Some follow their hawks and hounds and neglect their precious and immortal souls. Others busy themselves in heaping up riches. Others are for plays and sports to fool away the day of grace. My way, said he, when I was a monk, was to fast and pray till I had made myself sick, to observe the statutes of my order strictly. I called upon the Blessed Virgin and St. George and St. Christopher, and this was my way. And so a vile creature as I was, for all this, became more sinful. I'm assuming that might be Luther continued, but I'm not sure. That was a quote. Others may hate this or that public invisible blemish, but what are your failings? John 8, verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. We may rashly censure others and descant on their faults, but it is better to look inward. Do not I offend God as much another way as those whom I censure? There is a double madness, not only that which is idle and light, I-D-L-E, and light, and breaks out in strange freaks and furious extravagances, but that which is more sober, solemn, and grave. A frenzy betrays itself by deep musings and high conceits or conceptions in the mind. So it is true of these discoveries of sin. Some delight in vain pleasures, others go to hell in a graver course. When a man perishes, he eateth the fruit of his own way and is filled with his own devices. Proverbs 1, verse 31. Number two, stop your way of sinning. Pluck out your right eye and cut off your right hand, Matthew 5, 29, verse 30, or cut off your favorite sins, especially. Your trial lies there, as Abraham was tried in offering up Isaac, his Isaac, and David vouched it as a mark of sincerity, Psalm 18, 23, I was upright before thee and kept myself from mine iniquity. It will prove a stumbling block and eat out all the heart and power of grace if let alone. It concerns us in our covenanting with God to set against the sin of this inbred and natural inclination. Though original sin disposes us to all sin, yet our particular and personal inclination may carry us more strongly to some one kind of sin. Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Thus, childhood is wanton, and old age touchy and covetous. Sins take the throne by turns, according to our vocation and course of life. Every calling has its temptations, and there is a snare which others meet not with. Every condition of life has a predominant sin, as the young man with his great possessions. Oh, let us consider our tender parts, our Delilah, our Herodias, that sin that hinders us most in closing with Christ, that sin that most engrosses our thoughts, for they always follow the temper of our hearts. Some sins we hide under the tongue, Job 20, verse 12, which we cannot endure should be touched. Our private sore is a tender place. Thus Herod would not be crossed in his Herodias, and Felix trembled when Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Acts 24, 25, because he lived in intemperance with Drusilla, his pretended wife. That which you reserve in turning to God, that which you set up a toleration in your hearts for, even this sin must be bewailed to God, and you must seek the blood of Christ to mortify it with all the promising occasions of it. Act the contrary grace and see how you can deny yourselves in what you most affect. Use number two is caution not to walk slightly. There is but one right path. There are many evil ones. As one said, evil is manifold, and the way of sin divides itself into diverse paths. You may easily mistake. See that place, Proverbs 4, 26, 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Walk with a great deal of care and circumspection. When it is so easy to err or error, a man would be solicitous. The apostle blames those that did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, Galatians 2:14. They did not go with a right foot, or correct, I believe. The world thinks strictness to be folly and niceness. You see, there is a great deal of reason for it. There is error on both sides of truth, and you may easily miscarry. There is an extreme on both hands. A little to direct you, mind that place, Mark 7:14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. There are some way marks, or things that mark the way, I think, without wrong to that place, that I may give you three: a straight gate, a narrow way, and few company. Number one, a straight gate. The entrance into it puts the soul shrewdly to it, whether taken for the coming out of ourselves or the getting into Christ. It is a narrow way to carry the soul right, or correctly. It is like the passages by which Jonathan and his armor bearer sought to get up to the Philistines, 1 Samuel 14:4. There was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other was Sene. So here, between presumption and despair, it is hard to keep the soul right. Sometimes the wind blows in one corner, sometimes in another. How to keep ourselves from despair in going out of ourselves, how to keep ourselves from presumption by getting into Christ, is not so easy. Number two, there is a narrow path, an afflicted, rough way, such as will engage believers, number one, to the exercise of care. A diffident, regardless soul is out of his way. You have but a ridge to walk upon. Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly. Not even as it hits, for it is a hard matter to keep a good conscience, Acts 24:16. And Proverbs 23:19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the right way. You had need to look to it. Number two, it engages believers to take a great deal of pains and sorrow. He was mistaken that said, take thine ease. Many can swallow sins and pursue them, and yet have no sense of them that they are wrong. It is a way that will put you upon much sorrow and affliction because you have such a distempered soul and such a deal of pride and intemperance and anger in it. Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In Psalm 120:5, woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. The saints are apt to grieve that they have such a worldly spirit in a heavenly journey. Number three, to take a great deal of self-denial. It engages believers to do that, self-denial. It is a way that restrains nature, therefore we are called upon. Matthew 3:3, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. In Hebrews 12:13, and make straight paths to your feet. There must be strictness in our course. It is not such a way as will leave you to the sway of your own hearts. Nature would have a thing many times, but you must put a knife to your throats as if you were more ready to slay your appetite than to satisfy it. That's metaphorically, the knife to the throat. The thoughts, the affections, the speeches, the actions must be reduced to the strict rules of the word. When men please nature to the full, it is a sign they have mistaken their way. And number four, it will engage you to much mortification, to much opposition. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You have strong lusts to cope with, again, any corrupt desire in your heart, strong ones in your heart to cope with, and those must be mortified, which you cannot do without the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:13. It will cost you many prayers and tears and fighting with spiritual wickedness. Number three, the next way mark or thing that marks the way is that you have but little company. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Many walk as others do, and so mistake. Others sever themselves from the world, but go in the ordinary track of profession, not out of the common road. This is to be true to a sect and company of men, not to the ways of God. As Paul, when he was a Pharisee, he lived by the eye and did as others did. He lived after the strictest sect of religion, Acts 26:5. You must put a difference between the ordinary number of professors and yourself. But if you be vain and sensual, again, living to please senses, what do you more than they? Are you any different? Christians should look after the distinction and the differences between them and others. Matthew 6:32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Implying a man should do more than they, more than the men of the world can ever do. Psalm 4 verse 6, there may be many that say, who will show us any good? That is the fashion of the men of the brutish multitude. But the godly say, Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. And now use number three is to press you to look into the state of your hearts and see what you have by long experience observed, what is your sin, your way of wickedness, what assaults you most frequently, most fiercely. Observe the frequency of temptations and the strength of them, the law in the members and a thorn in the flesh. So as it is conceived, he calls the violent stirrings of lusts, again, corrupt desires of your hearts. Now bend all your strength against these. As the king of Aram said in 1 Kings 22:31, fight not against small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. So bend the strength of the soul against this way of wickedness. Now he says, I come to the last point, and he goes into another doctrine, doctrine three, but we're going to go ahead and stop there for this time, and Lord willing, go on to doctrine three the next time. But until then, go seeking the Lord's help to mortify the favorite sins that we have, the ones we're more predisposed to, and may he grant us the strength and courage to fight against them, perhaps even through the entirety of our lives, and by the power of his Spirit through Christ, may we get the advantage of these things, even maybe slowly over time in our lives through the sanctification process, and trying to live as unto Christ, to please him in his holy ways and in obedience to him. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.